Show.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row. Radio Row. At the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio, presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning, Radio Row continuing as we are live in Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center, Super Bowl 53. Oh, it's getting close now. You can feel it in the city as the fans are now starting to be outside in their gear. Still, I feel, just me, and this is just my observation, just walking around, Patriot fans are outnumbering Rams fans. Maybe, you know, maybe that's different on, in some pockets of the city. I'm not sure, but that's just my observation in walking around here. So I started thinking about this question last night. And this is not to go down a conspiratorial road or anything like that. And I don't want to uncover that. But if you're the NFL and somebody were to ask officials in the National Football League, what would be the better story coming out of Super Bowl 53? A Patriots victory or a Rams victory? I'd love to know that answer. And I got a couple of theories here I'm going to throw at you, right? If the league said Patriots, well, what would they get out of it if the Patriots were to win the Super Bowl? Well, what the league would get out of it is a possibility of Brady retiring and kind of going back on his word that he wants to stay to 45. Maybe he actually changes his mind at that moment and says, you know what, this mountain is, now I'm on top of it again, I'm done. But I think more importantly is that the Patriots' villainy, you know, the kind of the villain aspect they have in the league is brought into next season with the light, you know, with Patrick Mahomes in the division and whatnot. And that becomes when Andrew Luck and the Colts becoming a little better, you at least hope. And that becomes a little interesting, right? That becomes more interesting going into the season. Who is going to knock off this Patriots team? Are they just going to be favorites again? But I honestly think if they were to tell me the truth, that I think the Rams are the better story for them. I think the Rams are better business for them. Patriots, it's not old school. It's not because we've been down that road with the Patriots. I think there is an aspect of Tom Brady's legacy that they'd like to exploit. What he's doing has never been done. But I think the Rams, going into a brand new stadium, back in the city of Los Angeles, young coach, young quarterback, energy, excitement, youth, champions. I think if they were to be honest in New York, the L.A. Rams are a better story for them coming out of Super Bowl 53. But coming up, the big trade yesterday, Kristaps Porzingis. What does it mean for the Knicks? What does it mean for the Mavericks? It's the big news of the NBA. We got it on SB Nation AM.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, live in Atlanta, Radio Row, Super Bowl 53, as we continue coverage of the NFL's biggest game coming up this weekend. But news yesterday out of the NBA is Kristaps Porzingis was traded to the Dallas Mavericks, and in reality, that's the biggest story. Who the Knicks got is really irrelevant. Who are the other people involved in the trade were irrelevant. Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, is heading to Dallas, teaming up with Luka Doncic. Now, he is a restricted free agent. The Mavs obviously hope to keep him. To be honest with you, I think this trade is made because Porzingis probably gave some indication to Dallas that he would be very interested in staying with the Mavericks. But because, you know, this won't change the Mavericks and they're in a playoff hunt or anything. I think this is a future pull for Dallas. I think Kristaps Porzingis probably said, Luka Doncic, I'd love to team up with him. I'd love to see if we can create something in Dallas. So I would expect him to stay. That's no guarantee. He's going to be restricted. We'll see how that plays out. But I think the focus of this trade is really on the Knicks. this is the problem I have. I understand where the Knicks are going. And really, simplifying this trade comes down to this. Porzingis wants to be traded, so he told the Knicks he didn't want to play for them. So when you get that situation, like we're seeing with the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis, the goal is to get something for, you know, for nothing, right? Well, the goal is to get something rather than nothing. You know, if Porzingis walks away, you get nothing. If you can possibly trade him, you can get something. So what do the Knicks do? Well, they get some expiring contracts. That's going to free up some cap money. It allows them to get two max free agents this offseason. And if the ping pong balls fall their way, they could land Zion Williamson. All right, so if you're a Knicks fan, you can understand the logic in that capacity. The problem is, if you're a Knicks fan, you know that Scott Perry and Steve Mills, you don't have enough trust in that organization to pull this off, to make this work. That doesn't mean it won't work. It just means that they don't have the same kind of trust that the fans in Toronto or Boston or any other place where good manipulation of trades has led to good things. You know, if you think about Danny Ainge, for example, you know, if you're a Celtics fan and Danny Ainge pulled something like this off, you would say, well, I trust Danny is going to be able to utilize this for something down the line. I trust the game plan. The Knicks don't give you that. The Knicks don't give you that kind of trust. The Knicks give you, well, how do they screw this up? How are they going to mess this up? How are they going to set this franchise back another 10 years? You have one of the better young players in the NBA, Kristaps Porzingis. He wants a trade. You couldn't do anything to keep him. You couldn't convince him that your plan in New York to build a championship contender, which, to be honest with you, if they had a reasonable plan to build some sort of contending team, all right, hard to win championships, but at least have a game plan, why wouldn't you stay in New York if you believed in that plan, right? Porzingis, I think people understand what winning an NBA championship in New York would look like. The problem is it's hard to vision that. It's impossible to vision that. They give you nothing. They give you no indication whatsoever that they're capable of pulling this off. So if you're the camp of Porzingis, you know your management system. When they talk about we're going to have cap room, we're going to do this. Well, what guys are you going to bring in? Who are you going to bring in? Are we going to stay with Fizdale as the head coach? Are we still going to stay with this game off? You know, this offensive or defensive philosophies or whatever it is. Like, what can we do to be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference? How is it going to look? And I would assume that Porzingis' camp said, I don't trust where this is going to go at all, at all. So now the Knicks have cap space, right? Again, two max free agents this offseason. The problem is, what free agents are they going to be able to land? If not, wasn't Porzingis part of the appeal of being part of a Knicks basketball team? I mean, Kevin Durant. Does Kevin Durant want to go to New York and just be an all-star player on a team that needs better players around him? I mean, think about all the free agent possibilities that the Knicks could have. Are they going to be able to pull this off? It's not a dark day to be a Knicks fan. Yeah, Porzingis, again, nicknamed the Unicorn, once in, you know, generation kind of player, what he's able to do. He was the centerpiece of this basketball team. Now he's gone. And you have to trust that the Knicks are going to pull this off, but I doubt I could find many Knicks fans in the greater New York City area or around the country that would say, no, I'm in. I'm all in. I totally believe Steve Mills and Steve Perry will be able to pull this off. Scott Perry and Steve Mills, I should say. I don't think that this is necessarily a bad thing, but I also don't think that it lends itself to any sort of credibility for this franchise, for the Knicks franchise. Now, Dallas, like I said earlier, I think there is something in the camp of Kristaps Porzingis that said to the Mavericks, yeah, I may be a restricted free agent, but at the same time, I kind of like where you're going, and I like where the upside is on this team. I like Luka Doncic. I'd like teaming up with him. I think I could stay there. I like the city. I like the ownership. I'll stay. There's no guarantee of that. I don't know. That's just my speculation. But I think this is one of the reasons that the Mavericks pull this off. Because they're not borrowing Porzingis for any reason. I mean, they're playing a little better than what many of us have thought. But, I mean, I don't think this puts them over the top.
No, I think this is a build for the future. This is a build for the future with youth. And I think that the Mavericks got some indication that he would like to be a Maverick going forward. But I think all the focus on this is going to be on the Knicks. Because this disaster franchise, which really has no excuse, right? I mean, to be in New York, to have the revenue that New York can generate, to the ability to manage that cap, to be able to manage players who want to come to New York City and play in New York City. It's unlike any other place. Madison Square Garden is unlike any other place. The opportunities in New York are different than in Oklahoma City and other places. The problem is they don't win, and they don't give you a future of winning, and they don't give you the possibility of winning. And that's a major problem. That's a big deal. So, yes, does this trade work for the Knicks? Yep, if they use it right. Does it work for the Mavericks? Absolutely. But if the Knicks don't utilize this right, if they can't appeal to free agencies that don't want to go to New York and just wither away on the vine, if you can go out and be a max free agent, it's obvious you want a contending team. You're not going to just collect a paycheck. You want to be part of a winner. The Knicks don't give you any indication they could pull this off. And again, I really love the idea of if you had Porzingis and you were going after free agencies, if you were able to clear up enough cap space to get Porzingis in any other way, that you were able to sell him as part of the package for a championship contending team. Come to New York, you're going to be a piece here, but we've got Porzingis here, and this is that would be the selling point. What's the selling point now? You? Madison Square Garden? That's it? The franchise? The legacy of the franchise? Win a championship here, you'll never be forgotten. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's peeling right now. But if they can get Zion Williamson too, I mean, listen, there's a lot of ifs here. But two max free agents, possibility of drafting Zion Williamson with the number one pick if the ping pong balls go their way, or however they're doing it now, then the reality is then the Knicks become formidable. But you have to be able to trust that. You're going to need luck, and you're going to need faith. And I don't think you want to put enough a belief into either one of those if you're a Knicks fan right now. It is a wait and see what they do now kind of situation for the New York Knicks. It's fine when you want to trade a guy who won't come back. It's fine when you want to get rid of somebody to get something in return. And if you want money, if you want cap space, then the Knicks landed that. But what else are you going to be able to sell? What else are you going to be able to do to convince players to come to New York now? Because Madison Square Garden's nice. Playing in the city is nice. The fan base is very loyal. And my God, if you can win there, it's going to be fantastic. But you've got to win there. And the Knicks aren't selling anybody that they can win there. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. That is the big news of the day in terms of the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis off to Dallas. Coming up next, I want to get into Tony Romo because, boy, he has become instant celebrity here in Atlanta this week, and we'll talk about his meteoric rise from a quarterback in the Dallas Cowboys system that was, you know, we had many debates to now becoming one of the prominent voices of the league. We'll talk about that coming up next. Oh, we got a lot on the plate. We got Ed McCaffrey coming up, NASCAR driver Chase Elliott. We've got plenty of guests coming up from Radio Row this morning in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53 on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, welcome back, Radio Row, here in Atlanta as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. And you know, Ron, Tony Romo is becoming a star in Atlanta. Every media outlet is doing a little story on Tony Romo's, his prognostication, his ability to be a really good analyst for CBS calling his first Super Bowl. If I'm Tony Romo, look, you know how there's all these rumors like, oh, Tony Romo should get into coaching now because of what he's been able to see? Stay in broadcasting, man. Stay in broadcasting.
Don't be an OC somewhere.
Don't go back.
Do you think because of everything that's happened, do you think there would be a team out there just make him a head coach automatically?
I think there could be. That's a good question.
Kind of how he got the CBS gig.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when he got the CBS gig, like after he retired. Because, you know, we all remember the story. Dak Prescott was playing so well, and then Tony Romo realized the writing was on the wall, and he was going to support them and just kind of left. But when he got the CBS gig, I thought, wow, that's quick. He's been elevated to the number one slot immediately? Wow. Remember, because Phil Sims, people had problems with Sims, and so all of a sudden, Tony Romo gets that gig. And I thought, well, I mean, obviously they bring you in to do practice games and things like that. That's fine. But was he really that good to be elevated to the number one chair? Yeah, he was really that good to be elevated to the number one chair. I think of two people. Remember when John Gruden was doing Monday Night Football, people were saying, well, when is John Gruden getting into coaching? I mean, I live in Tennessee. His name was attached to the Volunteers opening. There was all sorts of rumors about John Gruden coaching. And then finally, eventually, the Brinks truck gets backed up and he leaves the broadcast booth for the rigors of being an NFL head coach. But the other guy I think about is Bill Cowher. It was the same kind of thing. Cowher retired. And I thought, well, he's only going to stay retired for a bit. He'll eventually come back to coach. Well, he never did. The broadcasting gig is too good, right? It pays well. You don't have to get up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning studying film until 10 o'clock at night. You kind of live a very nice lifestyle with a very nice paycheck, and that's what Romo is going to get to do as the number one analyst job at CBS. He's part of an excellent network. He's paired with Nance. They're going to do the big games. They're going to do the Super Bowl when it's their turn to do the Super Bowl. There's no reason to leave. I can't imagine Tony Romo wanting to go back to the scrutiny that he had as a quarterback when he's not going to get scrutiny like that ever again. Right. He could become the Madden of this generation broadcast analyst.
And I'm sure
he's not vanilla. He's not boring. He's fantastic.
No, and he's probably already looking ahead to that. Like, you know what? How long can they keep the Madden football name? Why not Romo football?
Right, Romo football. Let him jump in.
There's got to be a competing football out there, right? You know, we can play Romo football for years and years to come.
Oh, if you play against the computer and it knows exactly what you're going to play, what you're going to call. Oh,
yeah, it's a tougher game.
It's a tougher game. But, I mean, he's like, seriously, there is a side now to Romo that, you know, because Romo had a very up and down Dallas Cowboy career, right? I mean, he was good, and he wasn't good, and he was good again. He had the botched fumble in Seattle in the playoffs. So, but at the same time, now he has become a legit superstar. I mean, he is getting nothing but love and nothing but praise. People love what he's doing.
Yeah,
absolutely love what he's doing.
You know, I mean, and no one's scrutinizing him either. Everyone is loving him, and that's the key. You know, you said it right. If he goes into coaching, one bad game, everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, why did he ever leave the booth? He's no good as a coach. Why are they, and it just Twitter trolls would have a field day with him. Twitter trolls don't have anything to say about Romo announcing games right now or being a color analyst for games because, he's spot on every single time.
Yeah, and don't think if he became a coach and it didn't work out, he could jump right back into the number one seat. That's contracts. You got to work it out.
Yeah.
You'll have another guy in the chair. You'd have to wait for his contract to expire or buy him out or
things. Looking back on it, the only thing that we scrutinized him on were the sound effects.
That's right.
He toned those down a little bit this year, and now we're just like, oh, my God. He's definitely going to be the next John Madden.
Yeah, because he brings an enthusiasm to the booth that Madden did. Right, one of the joys of listening to John Madden was you could tell he loved football. You could tell he was excited about football, and it wasn't just football. It was like sliding in mud, or just getting dirty, or just having grass in your face mask, or playing in the cold. Madden brought a sense of joy and love of the game, and he translated that through the television. Pat Summerall was very, hey, this is third and 10, give is to Marshall, blah, 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 whatever it was. And Madden would just give you the love of the atmosphere. And that's what I like about Romo calling games. And this is no knock on the other guys who do this. I think Chris Collinsworth loves football. I think Troy Aikman loves football. But I don't see the boyish enthusiasm for the game that Romo brings. And I think that is infectious. Collinsworth does his homework. I mean, there's no question about that. He's good at, knowing the players. He knows their tendencies and whatnot. I think there is just this fascination with Romo's ability to sort of prognosticate the game that is warming him up to an audience. And just seeing it in Atlanta, like going through the newspapers and everybody that's here is trying to look for another story to write. You know, it's the same old thing. Patriots and the Rams, Bill Belichick and Sean McVay, Brady and Jared Goff, Wade Phillips, Dante Scarnecchia, all of the coachings that naturally are going to get run. But when you're looking for side angles, you know, just something you could throw into the paper that's a little different. The Romo stories are plentiful because he had a press conference just a couple of days ago. Not a press conference, but a kind of a press meeting, and his table was packed with people. They love him. They're embracing him, and I wouldn't give that up. And if I was Romo, I would ride this train as far as it's going to go because it's going to go really far.
Yeah, I mean, especially him and Jim Nance, they literally could be the next Madden Summerall tag team.
Totally.
Because CBS, somehow, some way, they're always going to have something to do in the NFL. I know every few years, the contracts change up, and that's how CBS used to carry NFC games. Now they carry AFC games or something like that. That's how Fox jumped into it. But I think with the current structure, the way it is, I don't think ABC is ever going to make a play for any sort of Sunday night or any sort of Sunday game, because they have Monday night, they have ESPN taking care of that. And, same company. And I don't really see NBC wanting to give up Sunday nights. I think it's, the four major networks will always have some sort of football going on. And they just, they could ride this gravy train for years and years and years.
I love it. I think it's great.
So when you say he's like celebrity status, are people bowing down to him? Are they kissing?
No,
does he have a ring that he just walks around and he just had, that people were just kissing the ring?
We know he didn't. We know he doesn't have a ring.
Does he have? No. Here we go. Does Tony Romo win? Maybe he should do this for future ones. Does he have like a Zoltar booth?
Ah, that's a good question. That's a great one. He should have like the He should have the what is it? Carson have?
Oh wait. Oh God.
Well, Johnny Carson used to do this bit.
But he gave the answers. Or he gave the question.
Right.
He gave the question and then read the...
You're talking about...
Zoltar from Big.
From Big, from Big, He needs one of those.
He just walks around at that. just...
Listen, I've told people our idea that we had last week about putting Romo in commercials that... I've told many people that, and they all think it's brilliant, and Madison Avenue should get on it. I've told people, I said, if I was Madison Avenue, I would take Romo. If you didn't hear this last week, Ron and I came up with all these different advertising avenues for Romo, where like a couple is on a date, and he just walks by and he goes, "Wedding bells are coming," and the guy and the girl are freaking out because they're on their first date, and or he walks by another table, he goes, "It's gonna be a boy," and. Just all sorts of cool little angles that you can do with Romo predicting various things.
And she's not even pregnant.
She's not even pregnant, right? And he just walks by and he goes, "It's going to be a boy." And she's like, "What?" It's just Tony Romo predicting people's futures as he's walking by, selling a variety of things. I think it's great. I hope they do it because, listen, I can't think of another broadcaster that had that as their repertoire, right?
No, because when Madden came through, what he gave us for the first time ever was a coach's perspective.
Perspective, right?
Madden wasn't predicting plays. He was just showing, he'd draw it on there. I mean, he loved that teleprompter. And he would just show us, they circle and say, "Oh, this is where this guy goes, and look at this, and he's going here, and he's going here, and this is why this is happening." So
this is why this play worked.
Yeah, this is why we got into the coach's mind, like, "Oh, okay, it isn't just, hey, you do a 5-yard slant in, and we'll get the ball to you." It isn't just that. It's more complex. And Romo's taking it a step further, where now he's just making predictions. He's like, "Oh, what? He's just telling by the way they line up at the line of scrimmage and how the defense is playing. Oh, this is going to be a pass to so-and-so."
Yeah, he's giving you the quarterback perspective, which is and I wonder if Troy Aikman, for example, looks at that now and goes, I gotta figure something out.
I gotta step it up a little bit.
Yeah, I gotta step it up a little bit. Because I'll be honest with you, I think other broadcasters are paying attention to this. I think Collinsworth, I think guys on the kind of the bottom end of the top team at Fox, and even on the bottom tier of CBS, are looking at that and saying, "I got to do that better. I gotta look at the game a little differently through another eye. Maybe it's even trickling down to the college broadcasters as well. If you're a color analyst in football, if you can throw in something Tony Romo-esque in the way you call the game, obviously you better be right, because part of the appeal is that Romo is right. But my God, he's becoming like a legit broadcasting superstar. And in 2 years? He's been doing this? 2 years, 3 years he's been doing this? It's been remarkable. SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM. It's Tony D here live in Atlanta on Radio Row. And joining us right now, Ed McCaffrey. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? You're looking good.
Thank you. You're looking fantastic.
You're enjoying all the hoopla, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. All right, Ed McCaffrey comes by virtue of Ticketmaster. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, Ticketmaster, they're number one in ticketing in the world. And they're certainly the only official ticketing platform for the NFL. And if you're going to get a ticket, it's the place to go, because it's the only place you know you're going to get your seat and your game ticket. You know, it's crazy because Lisa and I, we got a couple of kids now.
Right.
Well, we're old. We got a couple of kids in the NFL. And, you know, you get the home tickets, but they have away games also, right?
So,
and if you ever get tickets from a player for an away game, they sit you in the nosebleeds. You're touching the ceiling of the arena, if there is one, like we did in New Orleans, where we're touching the dome. And the seats are brutal. So if you try to get better seats, you got to purchase them.
Right.
And so there's times where you've used other exchanges, and you're waiting in line in that city, and you're praying they have your tickets, because there's no guarantee. I mean, they can give you a refund if you don't get your seat or ticket. But we're watching our kid play. Like, we want to make sure.
Yeah.
So they're the only ticket platform that can guarantee you're going to get your ticket, you're going to get your seat, you're going to see the game that you want. In our case, we're going to get to see our sons play. So we use them all the time, and they've been great.
What is it like to be an NFL player, now NFL parent? To go through that dynamic.
Well, anybody that's a parent,
right.
You know, you love your kids, you raise them, you don't know what they're going to do when they're little. Our kids all ended up playing football, which is pretty crazy. I mean, I feel old since all the guys in the league now are my kids' age.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of them grow up. But you just want them to be happy in whatever they're doing. My kids love football, and so I'm happy for them, and we root for them. But it's not that much different in terms of how you feel about your kid as when they're playing Little League or high school or college. If they're lucky enough to play in college with your kid, you love them, you root them and support them, you're there for them in the good times and the bad times, the whole deal.
And also, too, we'd always hear stories of people making the adjustment from college to the pros. The money, more of a fame, more of a pressure. Have you had to help talk to your kids about, hey, this is what you should do with your finances, this is what you should do with the fame, this is what you should do with expectations. Do you offer that, or do you sort of step back and let them fill that out themselves?
No, you certainly offer it. And, you know, they're living their own lives, and you try to set them up with good people around them. You know, they have great agents and, you know, financial planners and you know, lawyers. You got a whole team of people when you get to that level. And I think it does help. You know, my kids grew up around the NFL. They were in the Broncos locker room back in the 90s and early 2000s. And so they hung out with Rod Smith and Shannon Sharpe and knew John Elway and everybody. And they grew up in that life, and they've seen teammates of mine go on to have huge success and other teammates struggle at times financially or in other ways off the field. So I think those are life lessons that they were able to learn along the way from being close to the game.
In terms of how you see this Super Bowl, in terms of you see a guy in longevity of a guy like Tom Brady versus a youthfulness of Jared Goff, how do you look at these two teams in this matchup on Sunday?
Well, they're both extremely talented. They're both have good offenses. One is a young, talented quarterback. One has, you know, the guy that's been there half the time over the last 16 years with a coach that's been there as well. And experience may play a factor, but it may not. I mean, they had to win their first Super Bowl back against the Rams back in the day with Belichick and Brady. And so, and there's guys on the Rams that, like, Aqib Talib's been in a Super Bowl. Anderson's been in a Super Bowl. So they got guys that have been there and won and done that. But I think early on, it'll be important for the Rams to get off to a fast start. I think once, similar, although they won't deal with the noise, to the game against New Orleans, you know, it took them a little while to get going offensively. in a Super Bowl, the first quarter is as important as the fourth. And if you get off to a slow start against New England, they can make you pay and kind of dictate the tempo of the game. So I think it's important for the Rams to get off to a good start. But once they kind of settle in, it's just another football game.
Yeah, how quickly does that, do you notice that? There's a lot of hype, there's a lot of hoopla, but how quickly do you go, wait a minute, this is exactly what I've been going through either my whole career or all season?
Well, there's nothing you can do about the good energy, the good nervousness. They call them butterflies right before the game. The national anthem's playing. You're looking out at the field. There's fireworks. There's smoke. You're looking around thinking, okay, this is it. This is about to happen. But then you snap the ball, and it's the same game you've been playing your whole life. And they've had a lot of success over the last couple years, a ton of success this year. They're in the game for a reason. And both teams will have a plan, and we'll find out which team can execute that plan the best. There'll be some new stuff in the game maybe they haven't seen because both these teams are very well coached. And so those split-second decisions, you know, when Tom Brady or when Jared Goff sees a different look that he wasn't expecting or a different pressure or different coverage, there'll be a few, three, four, five plays in the game. They're going to be critical, and the players that execute and make the right decisions will help their team win, and the other team will lose. Somebody's got to lose, right?
Right, exactly.
Somebody will end up helping to win the game, and unfortunately somebody will be there and wish they could have done better.
Ed McCaffrey joins us, SB Nation AM live at Super Bowl Row. What did you do? How did you guys prepare? How did you guys prepare for your championship runs?
I was blessed in 1994, played for the San Francisco 49ers. We won Super Bowl 29, beat the Chargers.
Handedly, too.
Played them earlier in the year, so I was a backup. I'm backing up Jerry Rice, right? So
yeah,
it's not like I'm getting in 60 snaps a game. I'm hoping I get in at all. And Jerry came out with a shoulder injury for like a couple of plays, so I got a quick catch in there. Steve Young threw me the ball, caught a hitch route. I'm excited. I'm thinking I'm going to Disney World. And then he came back. But we had played the Chargers earlier in the year, and we beat them pretty good, and we felt confident. Heck, we had Steve Young, the Offensive Player of the Year, Deion Sanders, the Defensive Player of the Year, Jerry Rice, right on down the line. We had a really talented roster. I mean, just on defense, we had Richard Dent and Charles Mann and Ricky Jackson alternating, right? They're, you know, role players, which was just crazy. It was such a talented team. It was so fun. So, I wasn't a starter, but I was still nervous and was excited because I got in on special teams and as a backup at receiver. But that team had a lot of confidence. And, you know, after the initial, for me at least personally, after the initial series or two, because those guys had been in some Super Bowls
before. Sure.
It wasn't new to them.
Right.
It was new to me and some of my teammates. And after the first couple of plays, it's football. It was actually quieter than the championship game against the Cowboys. So in many ways, it's different in that those championship games are so loud. And you got the home crowd advantage if you're playing at home. If not, you got to face the noise. And then it settles down a little bit in the Super Bowl. It's a little quieter, a little more corporate than what you get at the championship game. So that was a little odd. And then timing-wise, the half times are longer. It seems like it's a really long football game. So simple things like you got to hydrate properly, and you might have to eat and consume some calories during the game because it's such a long game.
We always talk about pressure, right? Pressure on cities, pressure on teams, pressure on players. Did you feel Steve Young was under pressure to get a championship? He had been criticized. He was the guy that followed the guy and needed to win a championship, but did he show that at all in practice leading up to that game?
Well, you know, he can be a little neurotic because he's such a competitor,
right?
But he was more just so excited to get onto the field. He couldn't wait.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
The whole team wanted to go out and play, but he couldn't wait to get onto the field and compete. He has so much energy. I don't know how much you've been around him, but in the locker room and even off the field, he's always moving around and pacing, and he's a very excitable guy. And he loved football. He couldn't wait to get out there and play that game. What, he threw six touchdowns?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he tore it up, and he probably wishes it could have lasted longer. But to watch the expression on his face and as he, you know, teared up and he's raising Lombardi Trophy over his head was just magical. And then I was blessed to be able to do it with John Elway, Super Bowl 32.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one's for John, and him hoisting Lombardi Trophy over there. I was there, you know, in the victory formation right behind John, and I had a hurt knee. I wanted to pick him up and lift him up over my head, but I saw the expression on his face, and it was sheer joy and just relief.
Right.
I mean, he's tearing up while he's smiling and just so excited as he took a knee, and it seemed like it took an eternity for that last second to tick off the clock. But I got to be part of an organization's first Super Bowl. I mean, how cool was that? And we were loaded with talent, too. And then we all had to talk John into coming back. Took forever to talk him into coming back. Then we win again in Super Bowl 33. So what a Cinderella story for John Elway.
It's unfair, I get it, for a guy like John Elway to have the numbers and the ability and the wins and the Super Bowl appearances that we judge based on you got to get a title. And it was, but to get for him to get one, There were many of us who thought we're not going to see it. He's like mid 30s, right? How many mid 30 guys? How many chances are you going
to
have?
These people had written them off. Hard to believe that John Elway would be an underdog.
Absolutely.
At any point.
Absolutely.
But they had lost a couple of Super Bowls, so the expectations were low. We felt like we had the best team in the NFL the year before. We got upset by Jacksonville at home. Green Bay went on to win that Super Bowl against New England and New Orleans, but we felt we should have been in that game. And so we got kind of counted out, despite a lot of the same players.
You guys were a road team that first year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we had to go on the road and, play Kansas City and Pittsburgh and had a lot of difficult games, beat some good teams along the way, and then we're 14-point underdogs.
Yeah,
in Super Bowl
32, digits.
Which was a little insulting.
Sure.
And we had guys like Shannon Sharp biting his tongue and not talking for 2 weeks. That was probably his biggest accomplishment in the NFL. But we believed in ourselves and we had confidence. We were hungry, and we had a little chip on our shoulder since the year before. But thank goodness we could keep enough guys together, especially John, from retiring for another year.
Yeah.
It was really a magical couple of years in Denver.
Broncos are one of those rare programs. In the NFL, they don't have losing seasons very long. I think this is back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since the early 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like they go a long period of time without winning. Currently, right now, struggling. But do you like Vic Fangio? Do you like the Rick Scangarello? Do you like what they're doing to get this team in have kind of a new voice?
I do. Broncos fans are the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
They're very critical, and they expect success. They're used to it, right?
All the
They've
time.
Been spoiled. They just won Super Bowl 50 a few years ago, right?
So,
and they were in 48 before that, and they had Peyton Manning, which helped. But they believe in the organization. They believe in John Elway, and they believe that they're going to get it right. They made a great coaching hire. I think did a great job of filling in with their assistants. They still have a lot of talent on that team. But they have room to improve, and they know it. They're honest about their position, about their roster, and about what they need to do to win. But they played a couple of teams close this year, and I expect them to do well next year.
Ed McCaffrey joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, brought to you by Ticketmaster. Best of luck to you, Ed. Always good talking to you, and best of luck to your kids in the NFL, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Good
appreciate
to see you again, man. Appreciate it. Ed McCaffrey here on Radio Row here in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53 on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I get emails every week asking why SUVs are outselling cars. Well, it's really about utility. SUVs are great people movers, they're easier to get in and out of, and they ride a little higher up. Of course, SUVs will go places that sedans can't, and they'll do it loaded with people and gear. Now, new SUVs get great fuel economy, run great, and are comfortable on the highway. And just because it's an SUV doesn't mean it has to be a big one. Compact SUVs have become big sellers, too. But, folks, if you really love sedans, and this SUV craze means that there are great deals on the cars that you want. Car companies have thousands of unsold cars. They're still great cars, but since they're slow sellers, prices are slashed. And the prices on discontinued cars are really crazy. You could say that sedan buyers are in the driver's seat when it comes to car deals right now. This is Mike Kersey, Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures.
I was made for this.
Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features, if it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Ed McCaffrey joining us on SB Nation Radio. He's got two kids in the NFL. Like, you're lucky to get one. He got two. Normally, like, even as a former player, there's no guarantee your kids will go and pursue the career that you had. McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey and Max McCaffrey. both in the NFL.
Yeah, all you ever want as a father is for your kids to take over the family business.
Yeah, take over the family business, Yeah.
That is pushing it, though.
It is pretty amazing when you think about it. Like, first of all, if you've been in, if you played in the league, right, I would love to hear those conversations he had with his kids about, hey, this is what it's really going to be like. Let me tell you, it's a lot of backstabbing here. There's guys will screw you here. You better be sure your contract looks like this. Because I would love to hear his advice when we get to the business side of it, because it's always about, oh, he's pursuing his dream. But then there's that moment where dad goes, all right, let me tell you where I went wrong a couple of times in my negotiations, and don't make the same mistake I do. I bet those kids are savvy. I bet those kids have got the right people around them.
Because,
man, this is a tough business.
The other conversations I wish it could be was like probably the ones around Thanksgiving. It happened, you know, I guarantee it happened in the Manning household for a few years where Eli kept going, two.
Right,
Peyton,
totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Two.
That's why Eli had the face in Super Bowl 50. It's like, oh, no, I don't get to do that at the family reunions anymore. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I don't get to brag about this. My brother's got another one. We're tied.
Yeah.
So Ed McCaffrey's a good dude. He is. He used to be on the Broncos radio team, and he did a really good job. I told him that one time. I said, you should continue that. That he did a really good job. Guys, not a lot of guys make the transition to broadcasting well, and he did a great job.
Where's Max McCaffrey playing?
I think it's with the 49ers.
49, okay.
Is that where he's going?
Is that where he ended up?
I think so. Maybe, yeah, I think the 49ers.
That's way too impressive.
Yeah, I know. It really is when you think about it. It's like the Watts, right? TJ and JJ. I mean, that's...
And Derek.
That's remarkable. And Derek, that's right. Then Derek, too.
My boy Derek.
Totally forgot. That's right. So, I mean, good job on the McCaffreys, sending two kids to the NFL. That's fantastic.
But dad still
it's
has
in
it
the
over
genes,
you.
Man.
Dad still has three Super Bowls.
That's right. He gets a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. All right, coming up, we'll continue live Radio Row here in Atlanta. We'll hear from Hines Ward next hour. He had some interesting things to say about the Steelers. We'll ask him about those things. Coming up next, it's SB Nation Radio live from Super Bowl Row in Atlanta on SB Nation AM.